Well, good morning, Facebook family and friends, especially to those of you who typically join us via the live stream here at Whitneyville Bible Church. Special welcome to you. Today, we are not sharing the live stream directly from our worship service because of the different schedule that we're keeping at church today. But today, what I'd like to do is to begin our Advent Christmas sermon series with you. The series is called Prepare Him Room. Prepare Him Room. And to begin with, what I'd like to do is ask you to take your copy of God's Word and join me in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to be reading verses 12 to 17. And after we pray, we'll take a look at this passage, particularly one verse of the passage. But if you have your copy of God's Word, 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading God's holy and inerrant word right here at verse 12. The Apostle Paul writes to young Pastor Timothy, and he says, I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man. But I received mercy because I acted out of ignorance and unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I am the worst of them. But I received mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now, to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you please join me for prayer? Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that today we have this opportunity to turn to your word. And as we think of the coming of Jesus Christ to this earth over 2,000 years ago, as we've just read, to be the Savior of the world, to save sinners, Lord, we can't help but realize that so many people, in fact, most people, were not prepared for your coming, Lord Jesus. They did not prepare themselves to accept and welcome your arrival as King and Savior and Lord, so they missed it. But Lord, as we begin to celebrate Christmas this year, would you help us to prepare our hearts, to prepare to make room for you in our lives and in our experience? So be with us now as we take a look at your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. As we get started, I want you to think with me for a moment about travel. Some people love to travel. They love to get out and see the world. For them, life is an adventure. They want to do everything they can to experience all the world has to offer them. But for others, travel probably rates up there with a visit to the dentist for a root canal. Travel is a necessary evil to be avoided at all costs, at least for some people. The fact remains, however, whether it's by train, plane, or automobile, the Christmas season is among the busiest times for travel. I'm told that we travel nearly 25% more during the Christmas holiday than we do the entire rest of the year. The average distance for Christmas holiday travel is about 275 miles. Who's traveling? Well, mostly those in their mid-30s. Why? You guessed it. Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house they go. Now, despite our sluggish economy, people continue to prioritize holiday travel, and we're told that that's going to be the case even this year. I want you to think of all the places that these travelers are headed and the accommodations and arrangements that need to be made to welcome them as guests, wherever they may be headed. Guest rooms need to be prepared. Menus need to be arranged. Holiday decorations and activities and festivities are all planned. Hosts busy themselves with a myriad of preparations in order to be ready for their guests, whether family or friends or otherwise. I suppose if you want to think of it this way, the tradition of holiday travel has deep, significant roots. And today we're going to see where all that began. Here is the big idea for our message today. Make room for Jesus this Christmas. Make room for Jesus this Christmas. In our time together here this morning, I'd like us to think back to the first Christmas and the arrival of our Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. And I want us to think about how we will prepare room in our hearts and lives for him this Christmas, especially as we anticipate his second advent, his second coming. Let's think through how each of us can prepare him room. Now, we're going to consider the context that we read here just a few moments ago in 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 to 17. But I want us to especially focus on verse 15, and not only just verse 15, but one phrase in it. Here's what we read in verse 15 just a moment ago. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. I want you to look at the central phrase of that verse, which is really the central thought of the whole paragraph that we read. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is, of course, the whole story of Christmas in a nutshell, isn't it? Now let's break this phrase down even further and contemplate how it can inform us, each and every one of us, how we can prepare him room today. Notice what the statement says. It says, Christ Jesus came. Of course, that answers the question, who are we talking about? Who came? Well, we're talking about Christ Jesus. Now, before we talk about who he is as he came, I want you to think about how he didn't come. First, he didn't come as a Madison Avenue promo piece, you know, with a big grand ramp up, slick packaging, a massive media blitz on social media, TV, and direct mail. No, nothing like that at all. He did not come as a demagogue, you know, with a massive show of force and strength. He didn't do that. He did not come as a privileged monarch, you know, in extravagance with royal pomp and pageantry and a display of great wealth. No, he did not come that way. Jesus came differently than all of that. He did come as Paul puts it in this paragraph, revealing himself through several different names. That's what I want us to think about. When we think about Christ Jesus came, who is it that came? The old saying, what's in a name? Well, everything is in a name. In the verses that we read, in verses 12 to 17, there are three names that are referred to here, at least, in reference to Jesus Christ. The first one is the name Lord. Lord, actually all throughout 1 Timothy and obviously the rest of the New Testament, this one who came that we're talking about is referred to as Lord. We saw that in verses 12 and 14 as we read our paragraph this morning. This word Lord, it's a term of deity and authority. So when we think of Jesus coming as Lord, he came as sovereign. He came as king. Certainly a different kind of king than what human history is ever used to seeing. In fact, 1,000 times in history, a baby has become a king, but only once. Only once in history did a king become a baby. Christ came as Lord. It also tells us here that Christ Jesus came into the world. Christ. Christ. That's the Greek form of the Hebrew word, the Hebrew name Messiah. Messiah. Christ. The emphasis at the first Christmas was on Christ coming as the appointed and anointed representative of the Godhead. That's exactly what the word Messiah means. Coming as the representative, the appointed and anointed representative of someone else. In this case, obviously, the Godhead. Christ Jesus is the one approved and sent by God to accomplish his purposes here on earth. So think of it this way. The word Messiah tells us that Christ came as a servant. As a servant. He came as Lord. He came as Christ. And he also came, we're told here, Christ Jesus. He came as Jesus. Obviously, the person Jesus we're talking about wasn't the first person with the name Jesus. There were many even at the time he was on this earth with the name Jesus. But this Jesus of whom we speak, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the only one to fulfill the meaning of the name Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah saves. Now, we'll talk more about that in a moment, but that is what we need to remember about this particular one. He came as the Savior of the world. He came as Lord Jesus Christ. He came as sovereign. He came as servant. And he came as a Savior. That is who Christ Jesus is, and that is how he came, the saving servant king. This is, of course, why we read in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Think of this. If we had needed knowledge, our Heavenly Father would have sent an educator. If we had needed health, our Heavenly Father would have sent a doctor. If we needed wisdom, our Heavenly Father would have sent a philosopher. If we had needed aesthetics, our Heavenly Father would have sent an artist. If we needed wealth, our Heavenly Father would have sent an economist. If we had needed success, our Heavenly Father would have sent an efficiency expert. But we needed salvation, and that is why the Heavenly Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in verse 15 of 1 Timothy 1, Paul says, "This is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world." That part of the phrase where it says he came into the world answers a question, well, where did he come? I want you to pay attention to something here. Jesus did not speak and serve from some ivory tower, from some theoretical position of ignorance and arrogance, absent of practical experience of empathy, but the text tells us that he came right into the world. This world, our world. This is a great mystery of Emmanuel. There's another one of Jesus' names, by the way. The mystery of Emmanuel, God with us. Just say that to yourself. Emmanuel, God with us. Christ Jesus came into the world. He came into our world. God with us. God with us, not a God detached and disinterested in the universe and unconcerned about the plight of planet Earth in the way, you know, a child loses interest in a toy just hours after opening on Christmas Day. Christ Jesus came into our world. Christ Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is also God among us. The testimony of the New Testament in history is that Jesus walked among us, identifying with our human condition. He was hungry. He was tired. He was saddened by death and loss. He was among us. Christ Jesus came into our world, Emmanuel. He came into our world, God with us, God among us, and also God for us. God for us. Christ Jesus didn't come to wage war against us, but in his life on this earth, he demonstrated over and over and over again his great love for us. Our sin has separated us from God, and as a result, we stand condemned as objects of the just wrath of God. But Jesus did not come to condemn the world. But again, more on this in a moment. He came that the world through him might be saved. Christ Jesus came into our world, Emmanuel. God with us, God among us, God for us, and eventually to be God in us. For those who put their faith and trust in the life, the work, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, and incarnation of Christ Jesus, they have a very unique privilege. They become the children of God. And Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. It's a mystery. It's a wonder, to be sure. But Christ Jesus came into our world, Emmanuel. You need to know this Christmas, you are not alone in this world. Christ Jesus came into the world, our world, your world. Well, in verse 15, the Apostle Paul says this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To save sinners. This last part of our central phrase out of verse 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, answers the question, why did he come? And what did he come to do? So here it is. The bottom line of Jesus' life in ministry is simply this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus did not come into the world to develop new theological or ethical systems. He did not come to make good people better. Jesus did not come into the world to found a new religious establishment. Jesus did not come into the world to create a new social order. I suppose some or all of these have been informed and influenced because he came, to be sure, but make no mistake, Christ Jesus came to save sinners, period. That's why Jesus came into the world. 1 John 3:5. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. Jesus himself said in Matthew 9:13, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. This is Jesus' own personal mission statement. He also said in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So the bottom line of Jesus Christ's life and ministry is that he came into the world to save sinners. And because of that, that makes the same message the bottom line of the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is the message that we proclaim as Christians, as Christ followers. And it's simply this. Christ Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. This is the Apostle Paul's whole emphasis here in the verses that we're reading today. Look at the end of verse 15. He says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. I am the worst of them. Then as you go on past verse 15, you look at verse 16, Paul is on display here, as it were, as a trophy of the grace, the mercy, and the love of God for sinners. He's saying, I'm exhibit A for God's great plan of salvation. Verse 16, he said, I received mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. Paul's trying to tell us, if God can save Paul, he can save anybody. Now, we didn't read it at the beginning of the message time today, but I want you to notice one comment that Paul makes back in verse 11, the verse right before we read in verse 12. He refers to the gospel which was entrusted to me. If you look at verse 11, you'll see that right there. He refers to the gospel which was entrusted to me. Paul wants his young pastoral protege, Timothy, to remember the incredible responsibility that has been placed in his care and in Timothy's too. And I'll look again at the verses that we read this morning. Look at verses 12 to 14. At verse 12, Paul speaks of Christ Jesus, our Lord, appointing me to the ministry. Paul recognizes that Christ Jesus has appointed him to the ministry and service of the gospel message. This is particularly remarkable when you consider Paul's less than remarkable resume, which he openly shares with us. Look at it at the beginning of verse 13. He says, I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an arrogant man. I've got to tell you, it doesn't really get much worse than that. He says he was a blasphemer. That means that he was irreverent and disrespectful toward God and the things of God and his word and his people. And if you know anything about the life of Paul, you know that is true. He was a persecutor, he says. You might think of it in today's way of saying it. He was a religious terrorist. That's exactly what Paul was, and he tells you that right here. And then he describes himself as an arrogant man, and those words in the original language suggest to us that he was audacious. He was an outrageous enemy of Christ and his church. Then look at the end of verse 13 and the beginning of verse 14. What a change occurs in Paul's life. We read right here of salvation transformation. He says, but in spite of the fact that I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man, he said, I received mercy because I acted out of ignorance and unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. He just highlights some of the words here that he shares with. He talks about God's mercy. Mercy, of course, is not getting what I do deserve. What I do deserve is justice, God's justice toward my sin, my unrighteousness, my rebellion. And Paul is telling us that he is a recipient of mercy. God stays his judgment against Paul and against you and me. He says he's also a recipient of grace. And of course, we talk about grace a lot. Grace is getting what I don't deserve, but desperately need and cannot do for myself. Paul says that God's grace came upon him as it does you and me. And then he says that he also is a beneficiary of faith. And I think Paul means here not only the faith to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, King, and Savior and receive salvation. I think he does mean that. But I think he's also expressing to us the experience of receiving the faithfulness of God toward him and toward you and toward me. And then he speaks of God's love. And again, that's that word we know so well, that word agape, that idea of loving and caring for someone, love and care that extends to another person what they need, what they require, whether they recognize it or not, or whether they receive it or not, simply because I have the means and the wherewithal to meet their need. That's what agape love is like. Paul says, that's the kind of love from God I received. And then he says these, all of them, mercy, grace, faith, and love. He says, all of these overflowed in superabundance toward him. Now, in these last few remaining moments, I'd like to ask you to allow me to take our key phrase in this passage and break it down in a little bit more detail from some other passages of Scripture so that you can understand what Paul is saying when he talks about the profound nature of this statement that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is the message that was entrusted to Paul, he's told us. This is the ministry to which he was appointed. This is what you and I need to understand in order to prepare him room this holiday season. John 1, verses 11 and 12 tell us something very unfortunate about the first advent. It says that he, Jesus, came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. At the first Christmas, there were not a whole bunch of people prepared to make room for Christ in their lives. But John goes on to say there, but to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God to those who believe in his name. So there's hope for those who do make room for Jesus and understand that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Romans 3:23 says, for all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means that all of humanity, all of us have missed the mark of God's glorious standard. So when it says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, it's talking about you and it's talking about me. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. As a consequence of missing the mark, of being a sinner, we all die. And Scripture goes on to tell us that after we die, we face judgment. But thank God, in his great love and mercy, he sent his Son on the greatest travel adventure of all time to offer you and to offer me the free gift of eternal life found only in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:8. God proves his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, in rebellion against God, violating his word, violating his will, violating his character, he made a grand, extravagant display of his love for you and me. That's amazing. I'm a little reluctant to share them because they're verses that are so familiar to many of us, but I'm going to do it anyway. John 3, 16 and 17. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And then in Romans 10, verse 9, we read, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Remember what we discovered here in our verses this morning, that Jesus Christ came into the world as Lord Christ Jesus. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, God, King, Sovereign, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. I would encourage you to remember the big idea of the message today and throughout this Christmas season. Make room for Jesus this Christmas. If you have prepared for the ultimate holiday travel adventure that's demonstrated in Christ Jesus coming to this world to save sinners, then your response is probably like Paul. You are making room to celebrate him as your saving servant king. I want you to look at Paul's total spontaneous praise at the end of the paragraph of scripture that we read here at the very beginning of the message. In verse 17, I just love this verse. It says, "Now, after contemplating the fact that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners just like me," Paul says, "Now, to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." If you know Christ the way Paul is describing that he knew Christ, I'm sure that's the expression of your heart today and all throughout this Christmas season. Now, if you have not prepared for the ultimate holiday travel adventure demonstrated in Christ Jesus coming to this world to save sinners, then I'd like to ask you to consider Paul's challenge to each of us that we read in verse 15 of our text today. This saying, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, this saying is trustworthy. That means it's dependable. I mean, you can take it to the bank. This saying, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, is deserving of full acceptance. Would you receive it? Would you make room in your heart to welcome the saving servant king? Again, John 1, 11 and 12. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name. Let's pray together. So, dear Father, today, we ask that you would help us to understand this Christmas season, whether we know Christ Jesus as Savior or whether we have not trusted him in that way yet, would you help each and every one of us to make room, to prepare room in our lives and in our hearts for Christ, knowing that indeed he did come into our world to save us from our sin. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to celebrate the full extent of the true reason for the Christmas season, Christ Jesus coming into this world to save sinners. Lord, would you make this a reality for each and every one of us that are watching this video today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If today you have made that decision for the very, very first time, I would love to hear from you. Just reach out to us on our Facebook page, and I'll be happy to connect with you in whatever way would work best. But we would love to share with you from God's Word how you can know this salvation truth is yours full and free. And I wish you all a great, great Merry Christmas. God bless you.